want to turn to Acts 13. I want to talk to you this morning about ministering to and ministering for the Lord. I want to draw a distinction between the two. So often we get so caught up in doing for God, we forget who God is. We forget the being of God. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, this is referring to the church at Antioch and the teachers and prophets that were there. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. I want you to know that they're ministering to the Lord. Now, this is sort of difficult to explain, but I'm going to just rely on the Spirit of God to say what He's wanting to say this morning, okay? Minister means to attend to the needs of. Just think of it that way. You're attending to the needs of, okay? The word to is expressing an action in the direction of. All right? And then the word for is suiting the purpose of or appropriate to. To is an action toward God. For is representation of God. See the difference? You don't see the difference? Okay. Most ministering is for the Lord, not to the Lord. And there's a lot missed in that area. Ministering to the Lord is often neglected. Even, you know, in modern-day church services, where music is plays a major role in the church, most of the music is not ministering to the Lord. Most of the music is entertaining the congregation. We're missing something in that. And here again, the music's to set the pace. We're going to show you some things here in a few minutes, but the congregation should be ministering to the Lord. Do you want to get somebody else to talk to the Lord for you? The sad part is, most people are wanting somebody else to talk to the Lord for them. They don't want to talk to the Lord for themselves. Not even in petitioning. They'd still rather someone petition the Lord for them. And we've got to learn personal relationship with the Lord. We need to understand what it means to fellowship with the Lord. When you're ministering to the Lord, you're fellowshipping with the Lord. Not so much ministering for the Lord. You're representing the Lord. That's fine, and it has its place. Both of these have their place, but we want to not substitute one for the other. But let's let both of them run their course in our life. Ministering to is intimate and often emotional when you're ministering to the Lord. I'm telling you, you get locked in on the Lord and you just sort of get oblivious of things around you, you can get emotional with the Lord. You can weep before the Lord. And, you know, different people express themselves in different ways. Some may be more loud and boisterous, and some may be quiet. You know, there's not a set way to minister to the Lord. You're ministering out of your heart, God's Spirit. And the only way you're going to touch the Spirit of God is by the Spirit. You're not going to do it out of your intellect. You understand? This is not some head thing. We're talking about a heart thing. When you're ministering to the Lord, it's out of the heart. You can minister for the Lord out of your head. Of course, it may not be putting as much attention on the Lord as it needs to be. But ministering to the Lord is a heart issue. Ministering for the Lord is doing works. Ministering to and for the Lord are both necessary. God expects us to do both. And ministering for the Lord often involves ministering to another person. As often as you've done it to the least of these, you get that? You've done it to me. Now, I want us to look at some things. If you go back to the Old Testament, you go back to David, and you know, with Moses, with the Ark of the Covenant, and all the things that God told him, everything was after a pattern in heaven. Okay, and so when you get to King David, Saul had not sought God. You know, he sort of tipped his hat, but David wanted that Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem where he was living. He wanted to be in the presence of the God. Now, the interesting thing about it is they didn't bring that Ark. The tabernacle of Moses was in Gibeon. They did not take that Ark to the tabernacle of Moses where it had always been previously, you understand, in Israel's days of judges and all. But David pitched a tent. Now the tabernacle of Moses had a division in it. Holy place and holy of holies. We don't see that with David's tent. David pitched a tent and put the ark inside the tent. No division. Access to God. David was a man after God's own heart. David sought God. David wrote many songs, you understand. He ministered to the Lord. Now, obviously, as king, he was ministering for the Lord, and he did an excellent job. He executed justice and righteousness in his kingdom. But the reason he could do that, because he spent time with the Lord. And this is what's lacking with people. They're not spending time with the Lord. They're not, their mind's not on the Lord like it should be. We think on occasion, you know, we'll do a devotional, or we'll come to church on Sunday or something like that. But the Lord should be a way of life of where our minds are constantly on the Lord. It doesn't matter what we're doing. Our minds should be on the Lord. And actually, you can be ministering to the Lord as you go about your routine of life. You can have your mind on the Lord and just, you know, just talk to the Lord. There's a good friend of mine who passed away a long time ago. But you could pull up in that man's driveway any given time, live by himself. When you got out of your car, you just hear him talking to the Lord. You understand? He's not trying to impress anybody. He doesn't have an audience. He's oblivious of anybody being around there. And I stood there and I said, "Oh, Jesus, I love you. Lord, you're so good to me." I mean, I just love to sit, to stand there and listen to him. And sometimes I just stand there on the porch before I knock on the door. I didn't want to interrupt, you understand, because he's having conversation with the Lord. You know what he's doing? He's ministering to the Lord. And I'm telling you, God's well pleased with that. David ministered to the Lord. As a matter of fact, in the latter years of his life, he wanted to build a temple or a house for the Ark of the Covenant. And God said, "No, I'm going to build you a house." And so David took it upon himself to gather all the materials. Now, he did this by the Spirit of God. God gave David the blueprint for Solomon's temple, and David gave it to Solomon. David gathered materials to build that temple of Solomon. But here's the thing that impressed me. While the ark is still in the tent, David appoints singers and musicians to minister before the Lord day and night. This is a continual thing, and he did it in courses or sections of duty, if you will. These went on at this particular time. They ministered this time. These ministered at that time. But he wanted to be certain that the Lord was always being ministered to. What would happen if we would get that mindset and we'd minister to the Lord? You know, one of the biggest wastes in the Christian community is facilities. They sit there all week long, not doing anything. And then use them once or twice a week. And you can have multi-million-dollar complexes, but just not doing much for the Lord. Do you know that in the nation of Israel, especially when you look at it with while they're in the wilderness, that tabernacle is in it's the hub, it's the very center, it's the core of that nation. Everything is revolving around God. You understand? And you can look any time and you can see the presence of God by the cloud during the day, or you could look any time and see the presence of God by the fire at night. God was in the center. God wants to be in the center of our personal lives. You with me? The reason that this nation is going through the stuff it's going through right now is because it took God out of the center and has tried to drive him totally out of the country. You keep God at the center of something, and that thing's going to run much more smoothly, you understand? This nation became great because of God and God alone. Nothing else. God and God alone. In your personal life, it must be God and God alone. He must be the most important thing in your life, the number one priority of your life. Nothing takes the place of Him. And Jesus, in His teaching, He gives us that concept when He says, if you want to be my disciple, this is what it'll cost you. Everything. Nothing is more valuable to you than me. No relationships, no possessions, nothing can be more important than the Lord. And so the Lord wants us to get this concept of ministering to Him. You know, we most of us minister for Him. Right now, I'm just ministering for Him. You understand? But He wants us to minister to Him. I think about how when Israel came out of Egypt, the Egyptian bondage, went through the Red Sea, and the sea came back and destroyed their enemy. What's happened? Miriam started ministering to the Lord. Now, this is exuberance. You understand? Ministering to the Lord. The horse and rider is thrown into the sea. You understand? A great time. I think about Paul and Silas after they're beaten for Paul casting the devil out of the girl and they're put in jail at midnight. What are they doing? They're ministering to the Lord. They had ministered for and suffered persecution, but it didn't hinder them from ministering to the Lord. And it says the prisoners were listening. I'm telling you, you start ministering to the Lord, it'll get attention. It'll get the attention of God. But just like I was talking about that man, it would get my attention. When I'd walk up, I'd hear him, you know, just talking to the Lord, ministering to the Lord. It got my attention. I mean, it'll make you evaluate. How genuine are we in our walk with the Lord? How genuine are we when it comes to relationship with the Lord? Do we just put up a front, a facade for people to see, well, I'm a Christian? I'm of this opinion, if you have to tell me you're a Christian, you may have a problem. I should be seeing it in your lifestyle. You understand? In the way you interact with people, with the way you do your business deals, whatever. There's not one life for business and another life for the church. There's a consistency there. God's just and fair and righteous all the time. We should be as well. Now the key to this is staying in communion with Him. And if you stay in His presence, it's just going to get on you. You understand? You can't spend time with the Lord without it influencing your life. And you can be around people and you can see what's influencing their life by what's coming out of their mouth, by watching their actions. You can see what the influence is. And God wants us influenced by the Holy Spirit. God wants us to minister to Him. I told Tammy this morning, there's no time limit on the singing, playing. That's like the whole service. Minister to the Lord. I mean, you're not going to bother me. I'm going to sit there in my own way, and I'm going to have a spirit-to-spirit communion with the Lord. You understand? My body's not always involved in everything that's going on the inside of me. You with me? I'm not trying to impress anybody and put on no show. I want to touch the heart of God. Now, if the body gets excited, that's fine. But that's not the objective. The objective is your heart touching the heart of God. You'll do that by ministering to Him. Now, the interesting thing about that, ministering to Him, is things happen when you minister to the Lord. I mean, an earthquake and the prison opens. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Ministering to the Lord. God wants us to learn to minister to Him, and you learn by practical application. We know to do it, but it's a fact of practicing. You know, there was a time when these kings came together and they were going against the other kings. Anyway, without going into all the detail, they didn't have water and they wanted to seek the prophet, you know, and King of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, they had allied. And they said, as a prophet, and God said, well, is this guy down here that used to pour water on the hands of Elijah, referring to Elisha? And Jehoshaphat said, the Lord's with him. He already had the reputation. You understand? And so they go down there, and Jehoshaphat looks at the king of Israel, who is a Baal worshiper. He said, I wouldn't even regard your presence if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. But you understand, the Spirit of God wasn't on him to give him any direction. So he said, bring me a musician. Now, what's the musician doing? The musician's playing before the Lord. He's ministering to Elisha while he's doing it, isn't he? And as he plays, the Spirit of the Lord comes on Elisha and he gives them a word for the Lord that brought about the defeat of their enemies. You understand? When we minister to the Lord, we'll hear the Lord. But people are wanting to hear the Lord without ministering to the Lord. The psalmist said, be still, know that I'm God. Get in the presence of God. Give your attention to God. And this is really the message that the Lord is wanting to convey to us today. Get in my presence. You start ministering to me. And here's what happens. The more concentrated you become on God, the less attention you have on anything around you, to where you can actually get lost. You're oblivious of the natural, you're just in tune with the spirit. And time is no essence. You understand? People are trying to do time to get an hour in prayer. Just start ministering to the Lord. Get your mind on the Lord. And you won't have to worry about doing your time. You understand? And you'll be far more effective in your prayer life. Just get in the presence of the Lord. God longs for us to long for Him. Think about it. His heart yearns. He's jealous for us. What if we would be jealous for the Lord instead of compromising that we stand up for the Lord? Well, I'm telling you, if we get in His presence and live there with an awareness of God's in me at all times, I get in the presence of God anywhere because the Spirit of God's in me. All I have to do is get my attention on the inside and off the outside. And in the presence of the Lord that way. And we can start ministering to the Lord. You know, when you start ministering to the Lord, you won't be talking about yourself other than, "Oh, I just thank you, I love you, praise you, you're so good." You follow what we're saying? Now, if you minister to the Lord, you'll have clear direction in ministering for the Lord. You won't be just going through the motions, but you have direction. You'd be specific. You'd become more effective in ministering for. But we need to get our ministering to preceding our ministering for. Okay? Does all that make sense to you? Good. I don't know how to explain it any better. Well, that's the message. Ministering to the Lord, ministering for the Lord. Both have their rightful place. Both are extremely important. But don't neglect the one doing the other. You can get so caught up in doing for the Lord, you can forget about the Lord as far as personal relationship. But God wants us to keep the personal relationship always to the forefront. And if we'll keep the personal relationship to the forefront, this other will take care of itself. The ministering for will take care of itself. You can't love on God and not want to do for God. You understand? Then it will be the right motive. You're not doing for to get favor. You're doing for because you have favor and you're aware of it. You're just aware of who He is and His awesomeness. So, Lord, I just want to spend some time with you. Amen. Okay. You guys okay? Now,